Welcome to episode 189 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach and joined tonight by not one, but two Run to PB coaches. Firstly, we've got the boss of the show, Zach and Newman. How's things, mate?
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, been uncomfortable taking that title, but thank you for, I'll take it then, Chris. I'll take it.
Not only do we have the boss, but we've got the people's champion back with us, Elise Beacom. How are you going?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks, Chriso. I'm like, can I take the boss title? I'd love that title.
Well, between the three of us, there's a boss, there's a champ. I must be the chief.
Yeah, you're the chief. I'm actually still getting a few jibes from athletes that listen to the show that I coach, referring to me, like just giving me feedback as champ or
that's very good. If that's you out there doing that, please continue.
They do not need any more encouragement to play up, but yeah, that is happening. Good to have you back, Elise. This feels like we've gone into a time warp because we jumped on Zoom and it's like I just feel like we're going to pepper you with questions about Starker and your prep and how marathon's going, but we're like, you know, we can't go down that route anymore. You've you clocked a Starker.
Oh, thanks. But it's very nice to see you guys. I can tell you that my running has definitely regressed in the last 5 weeks. So definitely not hitting the same sort of splits and things as I was a couple of months back, but it's all part of the process, isn't it?
There's got to be some recovery time, surely. Like you trained hard, you raced hard, you partied hard, but now you're doing recovery properly.
Yeah. Hard.
Yeah. We're going to dig into that in a minute. But yeah, I reckon if you just came out and just kept running faster and faster, you didn't take time off, we'd probably have a few concerns and maybe make a few anonymous calls to some sort of agencies to come down to Torquay and knock on your door. That was the case.
Or a one-way ticket to Stress City.
Yeah. Yes. It could be a bit of a touchy subject, as we'll get onto a bit later. Hey, Chris.
Oh.
No, it's all good.
I reckon we should start with you, Elise. We should actually get a bit of a dig in a bit further into your recovery, comeback, but also noticed some sessions starting to pop up. But firstly, yeah, off the back, I know we spoke. Did we speak a week after Osaka, or was it even a few days after? We probably
The day you landed, the day you got home.
Yeah,
3 days after.
So what are we now? 5 weeks later.
Pretty much
coming up to, and a couple of easy weeks in there. So how did your coach sort of? What was the instructions around your recovery?
Yeah, so his general thing post marathon, and I tend to agree with this one, is that the about 5 weeks after the marathon is a real danger period for injuries, just because not only like you've run a hard marathon, but the block that's led up to that point is also in the body. So he does really prioritize some downtime. So I had a full week off running the first week, and I had really I'm a bit rusty on this pod after not being on here for a while. I didn't really have any DOMS, so I thought, oh, this is great, you beauty. I've gotten through this unscathed. But when I started jogging again, there were a couple of niggles that popped up, a bit of like patellofemoral, so like knee cap awareness, like nothing too bad, about a 1 out of 10 sort of thing, but a bit annoying, and a little bit of tib ant pain on my left side and a bit of a locked up left hip. And that's kind of, they've sort of been moving around a little bit and disappearing over time, so nothing too worrying. But yeah, definitely felt niggly, and After I think a week or two of jogging, I got back into the gym, and doing the gym work has just made my body start feeling much better. So that's been really good. So yeah, slowly I want to say ramping up the K's, but honestly, I've been skipping runs, I've been surfing or cycling instead of runs. I've been kind of just sitting on around 70-ish K's per week, and just got back to sessions. Like, I've done three sessions now.
What's the motivation levels like at the moment, mate? You're still sort of, I guess, coming down off the marathon high, or are you sort of looking toward the future and getting excited again?
I'm not really looking to the future yet. I feel like this week I'm almost ready to look to the future. But I have really enjoyed the break. Like, I've been doing things like I went to Adelaide and, went to some gigs, went to see a talk, went to like see a comedian at the Fringe, went to a day of WOMAD, like all the fun stuff that you kind of push aside a little bit during a marathon block, seeing friends, drinking wine, eating good food, just prioritizing those things, not really worrying if I have to skip a run for something, or if I run at like 2 p.m. in the day, that's fine, or if I do 7K instead of 12, that's also okay. Just taking a bit of a relaxed approach, because I think the mental stress of having a really strict program in all aspects, whether it's training, going to bed early, eating the right things, fueling, not socializing too much because you don't want to get sick, like that stuff gets really tedious. So when recovery time comes, I just really like to knuckle into all the fun, and then eventually I kind of feel ready to, okay, let's like work hard again.
Yeah, I love that approach. I think it's back when I was coming off marathons, I would take the same sort of approach. Maybe you take it a little bit too far and then it's harder to get back going. But in saying that, did you get to a point where you get hungry again to really get, like, you get it out of the system and you're ready to go again? And then is it a case of like holding back a little bit and not being too aggressive with that ramp up, or you're pretty good in terms of managing that?
I'm pretty good at following what's on the program. I've definitely been doing less than what's on the program at the moment, and I've kind of ghosted my coach a little bit. After a race, you kind of go quiet, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if he's noticed I haven't done that steady effort in that long run, or these sorts of things. But I think he's pretty on board with the have a good break, and we'll get back to work when we need to. And I think the things coming up that'll kind of spur me on to get back into some decent training will be races. So I've got Great Ocean Road mid-May, and that's coming up real quick. And then also XCR. So I think not only will that help to get a bit more motivation, but also in terms of like bringing me up a little bit, and helping that fitness click back in, hopefully.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the fence now with being a coach, and you have athletes who have raced and then have done marathons, and then you could potentially get ghosted at times and Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
I was saying, any standout gigs that you've been to?
I loved Saimande, which is this like really cool, so kind of 70s band. They played at Golden Plains, but they did a sideshow in Melbourne, and so I like bought a ticket the morning of, and drove up, went to the gig, drove home, then went to Adelaide the next day. Had a few late nights, so that was really good. And WOMAD was really good fun as well. That Sean Cootie, who is the youngest son of Fela Cootie, who is like Afrobeat royalty, played at WOMAD, so that was such a fun show.
Yeah.
I would love to say that I know exactly what you're talking about, but I ceased to be cool many years ago. So I says that sounds like you had an amazing time.
It's been fun.
And a bit of surfing action as well.
Yeah, a bit of surfing.
How's the surf fitness?
Pretty poor, actually. But it's been really good fun. I kind of got motivated. I just feel like I have all this energy again, like mental energy as well. So yeah, have had fun going out for a surf with friends, and there's no better feeling than when you actually get a few decent waves. Really, really good fun. So it's, yeah, all those things that you don't really have time for. When you're in a marathon block, I'm just like making the most of it. And we had the Rip Curl Pro, the surf comp on over Easter. So yeah, checking that out, and that kind of gets you excited to be in the water too.
So you were surfing Nuffy with all the results and following along with the stars that are there.
I follow a bit. I had been a bit out of the loop, to be honest. The last year kind of lost a bit of touch, but there were definitely you'd see all the surfers around town, which is pretty cool. They're like Gabriel Medina, who was the world champ for had the title for a few years. He's a Brazilian surfer, but he was going to my gym apparently, which gave me a
Oh,
bit more motivation to get to the gym, but I never saw him, unfortunately.
could sign him up maybe for a sub 20 program or something.
He'd probably do it.
Hey, we did notice a couple of sessions pop up of late. Do you want to talk us through? I reckon your foot, have you done? Well, you can tell us what you've done, but I did see, we'll get to it. This morning you punched out a session that sounded like it was a bit eventful, but your first workout back, what was that?
Yeah, so it's kind of been a progression of the same workout, really. So it's been a 20-minute at 10-mile effort with a 3 or 4 minute jog recovery. And then the first session was 6 by 1 minute on and off at 5K effort. The second session was the 20 minutes with 12 times 1 minute on and off. And today it was 20 minutes with 15 times 1 minute on and off. So yeah, a little bit extra each week, and it's not feeling easier. Actually, it felt worse today. So yeah.
What about on the 20th of March, your first session where you've had the yikes as your title? No, were you did like getting into that first rep and even, doing 10 mile, like getting onto that pace early, was it like, oh gee, this is a shock to the system. I'm working hard to get up. Like, what were some of the emotions going through early on?
In that session, I think the first K was okay. It was just like I just went downhill as the session went on. So if you imagine a staircase, the staircase was going down. And then I do remember thinking the last K of that 20 minutes was like at 4 minutes per K. And I was like, oh my gosh, this was my marathon pace.
It's funny how you lose your perspective more so when you come back and do sessions. I don't know how I'm going to get back to it, but you do, and it happens. But yeah, back at the Sands Golf Club, they got a statue or something there for you.
No. Hey, there were like six kangaroos on the first hole this morning, which is pretty exciting. Haven't seen that before.
Is cool. Nice one. And today, what was there was a bit going on in your photos there, like looked like a bit of claret from the foot.
Yeah, that was it looked more dramatic than it was, but I named the run Pathetic Fallacy because it was kind of like my shoe was a symbol of how I felt. It was like this shoe was emoting exactly what I was feeling internally. So, oh yeah, I should explain. My shoe had a big, nice, like red, crimson, bloom of blood on the top of it. And it was just because my foot was cut. I'm like, oh God, this is X-rated. Lost a few toenails in the past week. And yeah, my foot was cut up, and I had a bloody sock and a bloody shoe during my session. But I was like, this is just how I feel today. Yeah.
Welcome back to running.
Thank you.
And it's
Good to
such a
be
nice
here.
bright orange. You got the mango vapor, the vapor flies.
Mango vapors.
Chris was off air. Chris was having a crack at your sock combination as well.
No,
Oh, was he?
no. Given that Chris, I hadn't even seen. I should not have referred. There's a foul there. I referred to myself in the third person. Apologies. Please, people that are listening to this, don't judge me. I haven't even seen Elise's run yet, so I can jump on Strava now and critique. Not so much the session because I wouldn't do that, but we can check the
Oh,
fashion out because
please.
that is very important. Bear with, just for a moment.
Nice little So yeah,
will
you
say,
yeah go sorry.
yeah, so last week, so I did this session with a friend, Sam, who's also a physio of mine, and he is training for Great Ocean Road and was like, oh, I'd love to jump in some sessions. So he did last week and like completely dropped me. And then this week I was like, oh no, it'll be fine because I'll be a bit fitter than last week because, I'm coming out of it. This week he progressed even more and I was way worse. So
No, your
Might be
fashion's fine,
perfect.
mate. Or,
Okay, thanks.
yeah, no, if you're wearing a real low cut ankle sock, you can wear any color because no one sees it. So, yeah,
But isn't that
good.
the problem? No one's seeing the sock.
Nah,
I'm cheating then.
sometimes the shoe can be the highlight, so that's cool. No, we'll play on. That's a solid seven. Yeah, we talk about our 7 out of 10 sessions. We sort of just give them a tick. We move on. But then, that's
Yeah,
a
move
seven.
on.
It's a
Yeah.
seven.
Yeah. Well, that's so now you've Great Ocean Road half, yeah? Or yes. Okay. I was going to say that is a tight turnaround into a marathon.
Oh yeah, no. Gross. Yep, definitely the half.
And you foresee 2 sessions a week coming back soonish?
So I am always, midweek session plus long run session. I never do the like two small sessions plus time on feet long run. I've just been not doing my long run kind of steady run, but I should bring that back in this week. And then I feel like today was a bit of a wake up call. I think I do need to start getting the ball rolling a little bit and hopefully building the mileage up a little bit in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully the fitness will follow after that.
You're still feeling a bit, is the body feeling a bit beat up or mentally just not quite feeling the love at the moment?
I think my body's feeling a lot better. It's still, yeah, it's not like 100%. But the niggles have kind of gone away. I think it's more just I've just really been having a nice time.
But and
So yeah.
to illustrate that though, I think that's really important because if you come off the high, like you put in so much work over summer and sacrifice so much in terms of essentially nearly your whole social life to I guess put yourself in a position to run your time at Osaka. When that's all said and done, if you then just jump straight back into a big block and don't give your body a chance to recover, but you don't also get that mental release outlet to go and do the things that you haven't done for the best part of the last 3 months. So I reckon it's understandable to be a little bit flat still because you are having so much fun because you're just getting a taste of all the things you've missed out on for the last little while. So, yeah, I reckon probably give it another couple of weeks, and the body will start to feel, because then you'll be the best part of 7 weeks removed from a sarca. So that residual soreness, we usually, what is it, Zaka, one easy day for every hard mile. So there's the 26 days. We've really only just crested that now. So yeah, give it another 2 weeks, and I reckon you'll be flying again. And once you get a bit of a sniff of the body really starting to hit those sessions well, I reckon things will really take off. Plus, then in 2 more weeks, you'll only be a couple of weeks out from Gels Park Relays.
True, the highlight in the calendar.
Yeah. Have you had a
Well,
squeeze at the calendar? Some of the new, there's a new event happening, Hanging Rock.
yeah,
Awesome.
that looks exciting.
That'll be a new one to venture out to. Hey, but you do a good job. I mean, I know you're probably being a bit hard on yourself that, like, once you get back into it, you kind of don't get a chance to do it. I mean, I think feel like you do mix it up pretty well, and you get on trails, and you keep, you still have somewhat of a soda. I don't think you're going to turn straight into monk life, and it'll be all done and dusted once you're training again. Like, I'm seeing mud monsters. You're out there slushing around with Jackson for a just going off piste and doing some things like that is I think I do recall even in that build up you did do a few runs with the dog and just like keep it at least interesting, because I think that's also a good thing to remember that you did run so well, having a bit of balance in there.
Yeah, and that just makes me love running in the week too, especially the social side, because I'm such a extrovert. In case you didn't know that. Yeah, I love social runs. So any chance I can get to run with other people or get on trails or explore somewhere new. Like Jackson wrote on his Strava file, like lost within 25 seconds, which is true because I was the loop master.
Yeah, he called it
But yeah.
orienteering as well.
Pardon? Yeah, no. I was like, just 1 second. And then we're like in sort of ankle deep mud on some fire road that we're not meant to be on.
Your Strava is entertaining with your titles, but also you've got all your shoes. Do you actually tracking those shoes, or have you just got them in there for a laugh? Because there's a shoe on there that's done 13K and then just been retired. Dragonflies have done 24. Like, did you plan to track this and then just gave up?
No, I actually do track them.
Okay.
I think there's clearly a few underloved shoes in there that I probably just need to hide or something, because it's
Yeah.
quite clear which shoes I've enjoyed and which ones I haven't. So yeah, no, I do track them. It's a bit shameful how many are on there at the moment. Please
Yeah.
don't go and suss out my Strava now that I've outed myself.
You are keeping the door open for shoe deals. You've got every brand under the sun there.
Just keeping my options open,
I
Zacho.
mean, there's a shoe that's done 792 Ks. I assume that's done. Or is that
I
still
don't know.
got
I get them up
something?
to like 800.
Oh, yeah.
What do you
Yeah.
do with your shoes when they're finished, out of interest? Like, do you just pile into a box and drop them in at St. Vinny's or something like that? Do you keep a couple for gardening pairs? Like, I know you're a big fan of super shoes, out for the shopping and that sort of stuff, but what do you do when they're no longer fit for its general purpose?
Yeah, so this is actually unraveled for me lately, but I do turn them into a walking shoe, and one of them, so I've got a few pairs of like black Brooks Ghosts. They all look the same, and I just like put a biro mark on the back so I know, oh yeah, they're my walking shoes. And then the other day, I accidentally did my long run in my walking shoes, and I was a bit pulled up a bit
Oh
sore
no.
after, and then realized I'd just run 20K in a pair of shoes that probably had 2,000 Ks in them.
Oh
no. That's gold.
Zero stars, do not recommend.
I know. Oh, so bad. Yeah, and then the
Tracked
rest
all your
they
walks.
get recycled.
Yeah. And say if you tracked all your walks on Strava, then you could just keep adding to the shoes and then you'd know what's going on.
Maybe I could do some walks in the shoes that need to catch up in the kilometers there.
RC
RC elites. I get on the
elites
alpha flies in the wild in the RC elites with my
going.
jeans, Jerry Seinfeld style.
Yeah, get your sneans on. Hey,
Sneans.
okay, we've covered your running. We wanted to touch, Chris and I were curious as to your coaching as well. So you got a number of athletes going around. How's the crew going?
Yeah, the crew's going really well. I feel like so many of them were racing in March. It was like a really
A lot of
busy
races.
month. So we had Melanie Peruse. She has a cool story because her husband Joel actually bought her coaching as a Christmas present, and she's been progressing really well and ran her first ever like running event, running race. At River Run in Geelong, which was awesome, and she did super well. And the goal is to hit 10K, which she's going to do this week, actually. So that's really exciting. We had Grace McConnon, who also got out for a park run, and that was her first in a while. And she smashed it too. She's planning a marathon later in the year. And then we had a few at Bendigo as well. So Emma Greaves ran sub 2 hours, which was like a 13-minute PB, which was amazing. And she actually, I think you coach her partner, Dan Crusoe.
Oh, Dan Casey.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So a
I
little
do.
bit of a power couple there.
Yeah. Add them to the list. There's a number of power couples getting around, but yeah, okay. That's
Yeah, I
cool.
love that. So good. So yeah, she's a bit more focused on netball for now, but we'll plan something else a bit later in the year. And then we had Corinne Sinadel. She was also at Bendigo, but did the 10K, and like I think she totally surprised herself with what she ran. So I love it when athletes do that. They're kind of they're a bit free about how they think they're gonna go. And she said like she really gave it all in a bit of a sprint finish in the last 100 meters and felt great. So that was really cool. And she'd come a long way back from some injuries when we first started. So we started with a run walk program and built her back up, and she's planning for Melbourne Half Marathon later in the year, which is cool. And two more raced. We had Hannah McGrath did this really foul, like ridiculous elevation. I think it was close to 300 meters over 10K, which is significant. It's called Conquer the Summit, but she ran 6 minutes faster than she'd run last year. That girl loves some hills, I tell you. She's about to do this other race, which is the Peachy Reachy 10K, and that's like 3K uphill and then 7K like significantly downhill. So we're gonna have to train some different things for that
Yeah,
event, which will
bit of
be
a full
cool.
send down the hill.
Yeah, totally. And then Misha Agzarian, she recently joined Run to PB, and she ran Run for the Kids and had a 4 minute faster run than last year as well. So yeah, the people, they've all been doing really well, and it's been really fun so far.
Noticing, like you touched on a lot of races in March, obviously getting ready. There's Gold Coast, Ballarat, a number of athletes probably preparing for that, getting into to base phase or into for Ballarat. They're obviously, in the real meaty end of things. But just going back to, I guess, some themes around racing and getting those final touches in on those race weeks, and then some of the, I guess, observations you've just sort of seeing it within your athletes, and maybe Chris and I can speak to this as well around race week expectations and how they sort of how you're as a coach managing those through that.
Yeah, so race week, I always love to have a chat with the athlete, have a call, talk through everything from like go to woe in terms of when they're going to wake up, what's their fueling looking like, how they're going to get there, just almost helping them have a sounding board to play out the process of the day. Because I feel like there's a lot of mental energy that goes into racing too, so it can be really helpful to talk through that. And then in terms of pacing, I'd usually give some pretty loose guidance on, you know, how they should feel at a certain point in the race. And then, you know, always that the last 2K are going to hurt no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter what the distance is, that last 2K is going to be hard and you just have to like push really. Like, so yeah, and I think it's really nice being not overly prescriptive about pacing and whatnot, and giving a bit of a range. Obviously, you know, there's a ballpark and we'd been training in that area in sessions and things too, but you can have those results and those events where people actually exceed their own expectations, because often people think maybe people think, oh, I'm not actually sure if I can do that, and then on the day they do better than they'd imagined. So I kind of like keeping that a bit loose and not overcomplicating it with too many instructions.
Yeah, no, I think I really like that point around that, because it's also part of developing as a runner is learning how to respond in situations and playing the, like, reading the play and learning how you feel in races and getting used to being able to make those, like, I guess as a coach, you're guiding them through that process, through sessions and develop and getting them conditioned to be able to handle all those changes, but also, yeah, having that in their artillery to like pull out on race day when, like, okay, these few K are actually hard, but I've been through this before. I know how to get out of it and it'll pass. And then knowing that, yeah, and being open about, like, yeah, the last few K are going to be hard, but that's racing, and that's where, you know, you will kind of get to the end result if you push through it. So yeah, Chris, anything to add?
Yeah, I suppose probably for me, it really depends on the personality I find that I'm working with. I'm pretty fortunate that a lot of the runners I work with live locally, so I see them a couple of times a week and we message nearly every day. Like, they're my best mates, a lot of them, so that's really cool in that respect. But I guess for people that I don't know, when we first start out, and depending on their experience as a runner, when you first start out and they might go along to a race, whether that's a park run or their first fun run, I probably do get very detailed, and I'll have things in there, how long to try and find to warm up, putting some drills in, when to do strides, things to keep in mind. So that might be things like warm clothes to warm up in, where's the bag drop, keep the toilets close by, like just all the little details for them to have a read and a bit and absorb. And then as time goes by, we try and get a strip most of it out to a point where it'll hopefully progress to a point of like 3K warm up, strides, race. And we'll have a race plan. Some people prefer to run to effort. Some would prefer to stick, like, what's the number that I've got to try and hit to do my goal? And we might break that up a certain way. I think one way I like to race, which I encourage my athletes to have a look at, we sort of break the race up into a 60-40 split, where it's the first 60% will be slightly within what they're capable of. So a little bit, I guess, understated on what their goal is, with the view to getting them to that last 40% still feeling relatively strong, and then kicking that home. So some, we practice that effort in sessions, others we put down a number because that just helps them focus more. So yeah, for me, it's just getting a good understanding of their personality and what they best respond to. I think I'm fortunate in a sense where I've played a fair bit of cricket and footy and had a number of coaches, and I guess some of the male athletes that I coach from that footy background, sometimes they need that football coach to be quite, direct and almost give them a bit of a rev up. So I've certainly done that for some people. And then for others, it's a very, very softly approach where you're just trying to develop that self-belief and self-confidence in themselves. So for them, it might not necessarily, like the race plan itself might be three lines, but before we get to that, it could be a couple of paragraphs on these are all the key sessions that you've nailed over the last 10 weeks and why I think you're going to run well. So yeah, and there'd be a sprinkling of emojis in there to try and keep it pretty light. But yeah, once again, it absolutely depends on the personality because at the end of the day, as a coach, you're just trying to put the content in front of the person that's going to help them deliver the best result. And part of that's having them in a good headspace. So, because I mean, they do all the physical work. So, yeah.
Yeah, that individual nature, and that's what we love, I guess, as coaches, because we do get to work with such a variety of people who have different goals and personalities and what motivates them. And even to your point around, both of you touched on like preparing for the day, and probably this goes closer to either people who haven't done an event before, their first event, or they're in unfamiliar territory, doing the marathon for the first time, or even going overseas, is like talking through that logistics and having that sounding board, like you mentioned, Elise, is that you don't feel like you're doing it alone. You actually do feel like someone else is in your corner and someone that's actually done it before and can help you sort of, go, yeah, this is, I've had a look at the course, this is the thing. So you kind of got two heads attacking it rather than, yeah, and that mental stress that can be absorbed from all those things that you're just like, oh, I don't really know what it's going to be like there. I don't know how where the toilet's going to be, whatever. And if you can have your coach that's sort of like, yeah, this is our plan, this is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to warm up, and you're kind of both attacking it, I think, yeah, it puts you in such good stead and you feel just more comfortable as an athlete. And also as a coach, I feel more comfortable that my athlete is like not so worked up over these things because we've talked it through. And I think it goes a long way because we can really yeah, get caught up in that in race week. So yeah, that's hopefully a bit of guidance for some people that are maybe getting ready for a race. And yeah, we've hopefully covered a few things there.
So quick one for Elise, just gone through Easter, mate. Hot cross buns, your thoughts?
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. What are
Yeah.
we dabbling with? What's the preferred hot cross bun in the Beacom house at the moment?
Oh, we actually left our run on the hot cross buns pretty late. I think we had some Baker's Delight ones. We had some Coles. You know what? I go to that supermarket every week and I can't remember if it's Woolworths or Coles. Anyway, the packaging was a greeny blue color. And then my favorite ones would be from a little cute bakery in Melbourne called Loaf of Bread, and they have these sourdough hot cross buns,
Oh, nice.
and they're just like next level. Really, really good.
Fresh or toasted?
Always toasted and always with like heaps of butter.
Oh, apps 10 out of 10. You
Yeah.
were not paid
Oh, did you listen last week? So you came
to.
prepared.
Oh,
Maybe
I didn't.
you didn't, but you're
I'm
actually not.
out.
No,
Do you like hot? Do you guys like them?
I'm addicted. That's
Crusoe.
probably it.
Yeah.
So I at Coles here in Kyala. Hot cross buns come out on Boxing Day religiously. And you think people get hyped about Christmas. Nuh-uh. In our house, it's Boxing Day because when Coles is open, that's where I am. Post long run or whatever that it happens to fall on, I'm there. And it's usually, they have a special up front. It's usually two bags for $6. And you best believe I'm buying two and we're coming home and we're toasting those bad boys. It might be 35 degrees, but we're still putting the hot cross buns in the toaster on Boxing Day. It's a 2 year tradition now, but it's been sensational. And we get through those initial two packs, and then we sort of leave them for a little bit through January and February, but March and April's been a bit of a free for all, and it's sad to see them go, unfortunately. Why they
So
can't
this.
sell them all year round, I don't know. This must be some government legislation which we should sign a petition for.
I
But
reckon I actually think parkrun's behind it.
that would not surprise me. That's we will
Don't get him on the conspiracy
we'll
theory.
be coming in off the long run on that one shortly. But no, hot cross buns. There is a bakery in Shepparton called North End Bakehouse, and they've been voted the best vanilla slice and best hot cross bun in the country. And leading up to Easter, because these guys do pretty well, so they don't actually have to operate on public holidays or weekends. They actually they're one of the only, I think they're the only bakery in town that do not open on weekends, because
Wow.
they're that successful they don't need to. Anyway, for Easter, they baked 8,000 hot cross buns that were pre-sold, and people came in over the, I think it was the Wednesday and the Thursday, to pick up their deliveries. So this is 8,000 just for the 4 days that they were shut, not in total, but for the year. Like, this was 8,000 buns for
You
the
sure you
four
didn't just
days.
stockpile these for the rest of the year, Chris?
Mate,
Yeah,
I'm
I was like,
worried.
how many of these 8,000 buns were yours?
Unfortunately, none, because they're at the opposite end of town. So I was strictly Coles with our hot cross buns, which they're very good in their own right. But yeah, 8,000 of these things, and these were pre-sold. These weren't just, that's on top of everything else they had on the shelf, which just flew out. So yeah, it's we're doing the
So
wrong thing.
this will blow your mind. My lovely girlfriend Lisa baked some cr hot cross buns. They were amazing. And it turns out, mate, if you want the recipe, you could just bake them all year round, and then you're not caught up with this legislation. You can get around it.
I would like to purchase said recipe. If you could slide that into the DMs or the email, which I know you have, that would be greatly appreciated. I'm willing to fumble my way through and cook my own just for the sake. Yes, there is this segment of the community that have argued with me, well, why don't you just go and buy some thick crust fruit toast and just live off that for 6 months? Well, I could,
Nah,
but that
not
just,
the
it's not the
same.
same. It's not.
Nah.
No, it's not. I mean, look, to get you out of a tight spot, yes, but Zaka, please and thank you
Put
in
in a good word.
advance.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
send them to me too. Thanks. I'll give them a crack. Maybe we can have a bake off.
Absolutely. We can get some content out there. And look, if I really foul mine up, I can ask Nora to help me. So I won't,
No
I will,
help, no
I.
external help. That's not
Yeah.
allowed.
Competition.
All right. Well, I'll have a go by myself
Great
first.
podcast tech. They're great podcast content.
No, we
It's
can.
a visual
Yeah,
medium.
it is. We can get some photos
Yeah,
out for the
put on the
community.
socials. Chris, a bit of an update from your running, mate. 77 Ks on the Strava machine.
Yeah, there was some K's. No, yeah, look, not killing it, that's for sure. What do we do? So mostly easy stuff. Had a session on Thursday. Actually, one of my favorites. I enjoy this. So it's like a 15-minute threshy, 10 minutes at 10K, and then 5 minutes at 5K-ish. Sort of. Maybe it's in between those levels. But yeah, in between that, there's a 3 minute float and a 2 minute float. So 35 minutes all up. Solid enough. Geez, that 15 minutes felt good. That was comfy up front. We were aiming somewhere in the 350s and ran 352, and that was great. I mean, it was, I think, 8 degrees and perfectly still in the morning. Like, they're the sort of race conditions you dream for. But no, we were running in the pitch black dark at 6 o'clock around Kyala. But that felt great. And then 10 minutes had to be somewhere in the 340s, so ran 345. Once again, nothing special, but that felt like I was working, and that did feel like 10K effort. And that last 5 minutes, yeah, that felt like it was somewhere in the 330s. We end up averaging 336, but it was consistent all through it. It wasn't sort of sagging and then push for the last 30 seconds. It was pretty even, but definitely knew I'd done something by the end of it. So look, when it was all said and done, 9:30 then a bit Ks for 35 minutes and average 3:49, which,
Yeah.
yeah, like all things considered, the fitness isn't too bad. It's not where I'd like it. I mean, there's reasons for that, but yeah, I think it sort of feels like that we've got something to build off. I mean, it could just be that it was cooled down and I got the best morning you could ever hope to run a session in, and maybe that had something to do with it too. But look, I'm happy with that. On the Saturday that rolled around, we went out and did by myself and Anna, we ran 22 Ks together, averaged in the mid 440s. First 12K really easy. And then the last 10K, I said to Anna that if she felt really good, she could progress it forward sort of around 5 or 10 seconds a K. I didn't, and this is where as a coach, I'll say that perhaps I didn't do the best job explaining that, because Anna thought that she was to get 5 to 10 seconds a K faster every K for the last 10. I just meant
Oh,
in
like a
general for the whole
progressive
thing. Yeah. So
progression.
she, because she was
Okay.
doing the math going, oh, hang on, this is going to get
Oh, I'm ending
very
at 3K pace.
going to be sending it to like 340s to 350s to finish this off. I have some concerns, but she didn't voice those. Anyway, we got rolling into like started out in the 440s and then into the 430s. And then I think there may have even been a high 420. And I was like, whoa, geez, we're getting a bit quick. I was really starting to panic, like, where's she taking this? And she said, no, you said it was progressive. I'm like, yeah, it was. But just to like hold it, like we're just going to go a little bit faster and hold that. And she just let out this big sigh. I went, oh, thank God. I didn't know how hard we're going to have to work towards the end. So yeah, thankfully we dialed it back, and the last 6K are in that sort of high 430s and felt very comfortable. So yeah, that was a bit of self-scouting for me for the next time I put that in, that maybe we'll just be a little bit clearer next time. Because if she had have done that unattended, she would have been full sending it over the last 3 or 4 K and possibly would have got a very terse response when I asked how it went. So but yeah, full kudos to Anna, because she was a bit tired leading into Saturday and knew what she thought that session was going to be and was absolutely keen to give it a go. And if I had have known that's what we were doing, I would have gone, hell no, we are not doing that. But yeah, anyway, we dodged a bullet on that one, but did create some extra room for hot cross buns, which I was pretty excited about. So yeah.
And a bunch of emojis in the stuff. Got a rabbit, two dogs, a black square, a kangaroo, couple of, I'm not sure what they
Yeah.
are, a tennis ball
You've got
and
an Android, so you probably don't get the same emojis that I get,
oh
Zachar.
yeah.
Yeah,
Is it like
yeah.
black
Better.
square plus kangaroo equals quokka or something?
Nah, well, we'll go back, because there was a lot going on. Mind you, we ran in the pitch black dark the whole time. We finished just after 7, and it was still, yeah, it was still black dark. So no, there was a rabbit. We saw one of those running around. As we were finishing the run, I think we saw about 5 or 6 cats. And normally cats are quite skittish when they see other people. They had no fear of us whatsoever, just out in their front lawns enjoying the morning. It was still, I don't know, they're hunting for birds, possibly the Easter bunny, I don't know. So yeah, saw a heap of cats, which is unusual. One of the streets we were running down alongside the lake, there was a kangaroo in the bush hopping alongside us. Like houses on one side, kangaroo on the other, just skipping along on the path. Don't see that. That was weird. The tennis. So Anna used to be a very, very talented junior tennis player. And Anna is obviously quite fit. And her eldest boy, James, has been playing a bit of tennis this year. Anyway, there's an Easter tournament over in Kyabram, and Anna made her come back to tennis, and played with her little boy. So played in the third division over in the Easter tournament in Kyabram. So saw a little tennis ball emoji in there, because we love seeing these pop up in 12 months' time, and then we try and piece together like, shit, what was going on here? Like, no, that's when you played tennis, remember? So yeah, it was a little shout out for that. So she, I think it was 4 sets they played. And like, keep me in mind, James is 9, and they're playing against people like, they're playing mixed doubles against adults and people who've come down from Melbourne. And yeah, But yeah, they held their own and did quite well. So yeah, that's what was all of that. And yeah, a splash of progressive over the last 10 was a bit of an understatement. But yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Sounds good. Sounds yeah, always needed the needed decoding from your emojis. Hey, your sessions like early in the week, pretty solid pace, like you mentioned, the average of 3:49, and we're a fair way back where things went a little bit off the rails, and you've been able to steadily run and then pick it up. Like the fitness is there, but you're where are we at? Because can you progress things like, yeah, what are you health-wise, where do we land with that?
Yeah, good question. I guess official answer, I don't know, because I get a so tomorrow I'm booked in for a CT angiogram for my heart. So we'll pop along to the radiology place and they will give me a nice gown to put on. And I have a wife who's heckling me here in the background. Which is not a good time at the moment. Anyway, the gown will go on and they're going to give me some dye that they're going to pump into my body and we're going to see where that goes through my heart. And it's really just to see if there's any blockages, if there's any narrowing of the arteries, if I need a stent or anything like that. Personally, I don't expect it's going to come back with anything because the last couple of weeks I felt completely normal. Not that I'm certainly not going to go and cancel this thing because I just rather go and get it done and find out if there is anything wrong. But because of how my body settled and how things have felt, and I'd like to think that I've still pushed relatively hard in these sessions towards the end, not certainly not going to the well or full sending it, but we're working and yeah, the heart rate's getting up. It's doing its job and I'm not feeling sick or having any episodes. So in hindsight, and this is a bit humbling, but you know, I think I would like to think over the last 100 or so weeks that I've been coming on here, I've been nothing but honest in terms of, I guess, the way I, you know, if I've done something dumb or wrong, then I'll put my hand up and I'll own that. So without having any medical and feedback as yet, I suspect that the recent episodes that I've had have been I've overdosed myself on caffeine, which is not very smart. But when I race, I do take more than I would for a training session. I would also say that combining that with high temperatures, because typically when this has happened, I've been in conditions hotter than what I would normally run in. And then you mix in some racing anxiety and a bit of stress. And I guess I'm not exactly in my mid-20s anymore, where you can just treat your body like a garbage tip and, you know, take some liberties and get away with it. I would say that I just crossed the line of what my body could handle and it just flipped out. So, not smart on my behalf. Some learnings I would suggest have been made. And yeah, it's humbling, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, we'll get this test done tomorrow and then I'll wait a few days for those results to get processed and we'll get some feedback. I really genuinely do hope they're clean and nothing's needed except for me to be sensible when it comes to self-administering caffeine. There is such a thing as too much.
I mean, that would be such a great result, though, wouldn't it?
Oh,
If that was the
absolutely.
answer, caffeine. I mean,
Imagine if that was the biggest problem you had was not putting too many caffeine tablets in your mouth. Like, oh shit, I think we can do that.
You
So,
mentioned like feeling better like in recent weeks. Had you pulled back on the caffeine, or is there anything different that you'd done recently
no.
that had
So
contributed to that?
I no, nah, I think I've always for the last I would say 8 to 10 years that I've been running, I've always had a little bit of caffeine before each run. And
Is this
so,
like a no dose, or is this
no, you
toxic
can't buy
caffeine?
no-dose anymore. They don't make that product. So,
What?
yeah.
No, I've still got it.
I've got a stash.
Hang on to them.
I'll hook you up.
Yeah. Hang on to them. Because
I'll send you the recipe.
Yeah, send me, please do.
Oh God, so, that could be a very different situation to the hot cross buns.
Buy the two and you'll be yeah.
Oh no. There's possible legal ramifications. We won't take that any further. I'm silly enough. No, I have mine in tablet form. So there's a online company called iHerb that is, relatively, I guess, well known. I get your vitamin C tablets and your stuff to help you sleep. And anyway, that's where I get my caffeine tablets from. They are the same strength as Nodos, but you can buy that. So you buy a tablet and it's got a little line that you can break in half. A full tablet's 200 milligrams of caffeine, and obviously half is 100. So I'd say before a session, I would have 200 milligrams of caffeine. Maybe for a long run, that would be 100. Or if I'm up early and I haven't slept well, then that would be 200. For a race, I had been doing 400. So two tablets, and in hindsight, I feel that's probably too much for my body. I had worked off the theory that sort of, I think a combination of lots of things. I do try and read up on this. It's not just me going, oh, hey, if one tablet works well, let's just whack a second one in and see what happens. I'm not being reckless like that. I do read about it, and I guess the things that I'd read sort of that up to 6 to 8 milligrams per kilo of body weight can be that sweet spot for optimum athletic performance. Like, well, yeah, maybe it can, but it's probably not for me, I've concluded. So for my training sessions, I've never really ever had a problem in a training session. So maybe just it's 200 milligrams is a sweet spot where I feel good and the body handles everything that we need to, and that's perfect. So yeah, anyway, hindsight, it's great. Anyone listening to this, I hope you can learn from this too. But yeah, I think Nora hates the fact that I use caffeine because she's completely anti-caffeine. She doesn't drink coffee. I've sort of said, yeah, try a caffeine tablet. And I think she's maybe tried 3 half strength ones in all of her life, and she just doesn't like them and isn't the biggest fan that I use it. But so she feels somewhat vindicated along the lines that perhaps I've been using too much. So, but yeah, look, I'm happy to put my hand up and say I've probably erred. My judgment hasn't been that great when it's come to that sort of thing. So yeah, that's the one change I'm definitely and have been making since then. So I was very well behaved at Bendigo. I just did the same things that I did for training, and wouldn't you know it, I ran well with no complications. So we're going to try and stick to that. Obviously very interested in what the results come back with tomorrow, but hopefully that's all clean, and then it's going to be a nice full XCR season. So I had originally thought that my services wouldn't be required at Gels because I'd be way back in the line for relays just because there's so many talented kids and older people. But it turns out Ballarat's on the same weekend and there's a lot of people from Bendigo going to compete at that. So, yeah, they're literally looking for anyone that has a heartbeat that wants to run for Bendigo for that weekend to make themselves available. So here I am. I'm available for Gels. So yeah, want to give that a go and then just do a full XCR season. That'll probably be the only relay because I think they'll be absolutely flush with numbers from there. And yeah, don't know. I'm seeing all these marathons sell out, Zacha, and I'm getting itchy feet. I'm thinking maybe I want to have one last go in a marathon over the next 18 months, but there's a lot of water to flow under that bridge before we commit to it. So yeah, I'd like to use XCR this year to really build my strength up, and then maybe dip the toe in the water sometime between April and October next year for a marathon.
Sounds like a good plan to me. I think Well, first thing, yeah, thanks for sharing all that. Like, that's pretty personal info around what you've been, what you've been going through. And we always, yeah, I think to come on a podcast publicly and say all that is not always easy, because it would have been, it obviously is a challenging time when you're going through this and you're running still, but you still have a little bit of uncertainty. So no, it's good that you've shared that. And yeah, we'll be thinking of you tomorrow.
Yeah, look, it'll be an interesting experience. I did go through what they're going to do to me tomorrow is essentially what they did to me when I got hit by that car when I was on my bike. Just this time it's by choice, not out of necessity. So yeah, it should be good. I'll just feel a bit ick, I think, tomorrow afternoon, but that should wear off after a few hours. And mate, I'm hoping that I can go to Pilates on Thursday night and then go for a run for an hour on Friday morning. So we'll see. That's my immediate goal anyway.
What color is the dye?
Yellow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yep. So
Combo, Chris.
Given that I'm only allowed to be wearing a gown, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to have socks on. So, I assume that the gown will be white. I should have really emailed ahead and just
Yeah.
sort of
Might be
tried to find
blue.
out. It could be. That would be my other bet, but I do have some white, navy, and light blue socks that could have actually just matched either option. So,
Bring
anyway,
us
maybe
home.
we'll wear them just to the radiology place and we'll see what happens.
Hey, before we quickly move on, I did want to touch on this. You will be excited for this weekend. I know you'll probably be thinking about it over the next few days. WrestleMania this weekend. Roman Reigns, Tribal Chief versus, is it Cody Rhodes?
For the World Heavyweight Championship, and there's
Did you
also a
notice,
tag
Elise,
match.
that we've got one of the biggest fans of wrestling in the house?
Oh, wait, I hope you're not talking about me. Actually, something's just come up. I need to get off Zoom now. Okay,
Yeah, line's
bye.
breaking up.
Podcast, not a visual, but the look that Elise just gave was one of disgust and total judgment. But
No, I don't judge. Talk me through it. Why this
no.
passion?
No. Well, we can get into that. I just thought it was pertinent that with Roman Reigns being the tribal chief, and he's also backed up by his actual cousin in real life, The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, as people may be more familiar, famous Hollywood actor, who refers to himself as the final boss. So we've got the final boss and the tribal chief wrestling this weekend at WrestleMania, which I thought was just fitting for our show. But WrestleMania 40, it's the showpiece in the WWE calendar. There'll be 98% of the people listening to this who do not give a toss about this, but the 2% of you out there who are nodding your heads in solidarity, we're absolutely pumped for this weekend. It's exciting. It generally is just
Is this behind a paywall or is this like, how
no,
are you?
well, if you've got KO, you can watch this for free. So it
Okay.
goes over 2 days. It'll be most of the day.
Non-stop.
Not well, yeah, there's 6 hour shows. So two by 6 hours. So 6 hours on Sunday and then again on Monday, which I'll be at work for, disappointingly. But
Yeah.
Six
Yeah, it's
hours. I'm sorry. Are they like greasing themselves up for the first
no,
hour or?
like there's a lot of matches that are on over the 2 days. So where the Philadelphia Eagles play NFL, so it's a 50,000 seat capacity, I'm pretty sure. They've sold that out. So that's live outdoors, Philadelphia. If you've never seen it, like these people are genuinely good athletes, and it's more for the athletic
Is that
performance.
athlete slash actors?
Yeah, absolutely. No, and they are. Look, this is all it's scripted, but it is physical. And anyone that goes, oh, it's made up, it's not real, like, yeah, but do you enjoy movies? Do you like watching TV shows? Yeah, you probably do. Well, guess what? So do I. And this just happens to be male soap opera. So it's very entertaining. I've loved it since I was a little kid. I remember sort of being sort of 8, 9, 10 years of age and watching it like on TV on a Saturday with dad and seeing Hulk Hogan and those sorts of guys on the TV, thinking, wow, this is incredible. And I've just been hooked on it ever since. So yeah, it's pretty cool. for me. I'm not saying that everyone's going to love it. I don't expect that they do, but Nora is a fan. It's something that she has willingly come along and watched live in the past at the MCG and Rod Laver Arena and had a really good time. So, yeah. And
Cool.
I yeah, that's, you can ask her. She will be upfront and honest. She enjoys it too.
No. No, I don't think we have any further
Any further
questions,
questions?
really. Yeah, no
You've
further
stumped
questions.
us. You've completely stumped us there. Very good.
Zaka, an update for you, mate. You last week, no running.
No, didn't trouble the scorers on Saturday.
No.
Yeah.
At least that. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was like,
So
maybe you go on ninja mode on Strava.
that was, I
That's a
did have a
better.
few people ask, have you gone dark on Strava? Have you gone into a secret training block? Have you doing a detox from the internet? But no, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. I would have loved to have been running. In fact, I ran on Monday. So we recorded last Monday, Christo.
We did, yes.
Yeah. And I was pumped. And I think in that we had a rousing inspirational chat with Steve Langdon about managing injuries
We
and
did. We did.
Oh,
And I
timely.
feel like it was just planted for me just to listen to all.
Oh.
Because I ran on that Monday night and I felt pretty good, except there was a couple of odd, and we'd spoken about this over the last few weeks where I just had a little bit of like I guess quad pain and a little bit of like I've always had this knee that I've been managing and I felt like I was on top of it. I think even last week I was saying my knee was probably the best it felt, but I was, it turns out I was compensating for it and or maybe changed my gait in managing a sore quad that had led to, and on that Monday run, I actually felt pretty good for most of it, but I had a couple of weird instances where I just felt like a little bit unstable on one side of the body, and then it would be like for a brief moment, and then I'd sort of maybe in hindsight change my running gait to accommodate for it, and then just so 98% of the run was like a normal run and ran with a group and chatting away. We ran at a decent pace, and I then thought, well, I've had 4 or 5 days in a row, maybe I just need to have a day off just to deload. And then that next day, when I was just walking around, I had like pain in the back of my knee. And then that stability got a little bit worse, where I was just like, yeah, I'd just sort of walk and then I'd be a little bit proppy on that one side, which then led to me like, yeah, this just doesn't feel right. Like I probably hadn't felt, I've had those little inklings of that over the past few weeks, but nothing that sort of inhibited my movement day to day. So I thought I probably just need to get this checked out just for peace of mind. And I just, yeah, I honestly thought maybe I'd really like my ITB or my quad was really jacked up and it just needed a release. So I booked in with Lachlan Bromley, who we over at Reload Physio. We've had him on the show before, Chriso, and he's managed to get in to have a consult with him on the Wednesday. So I had the Tuesday off, and by Wednesday it was still, you know, I thought with the rest, maybe asleep, it would feel a bit better in the morning, but it was about the same. Got out there in the Arvo, great spot. It's like absolutely huge physio setup. Like we went on a bit of a tour with three levels, two gyms in there, Pilates studio. Like you walk in there and you're just like, this is these guys have got it sorted. There's about 15 staff between all the different services they offer. So Locke gave us a good little tour and then we got into it. And yeah, he wasn't the same page around, like he did give it the once over, like looking at like the few tests around stability, then got on the table and like he was like, yeah, you're really, really tight through the quad and TFL, but couldn't I sort of identify a real spot spot. So that suggested to him, because it was such a vague sort of area, that he wanted to get a scan on it, because he really, look, we were both sort of along the lines of maybe I had changed my running form, and over the course of doing, I think the last few weeks have been sort of 70, 80K weeks. Maybe in there was some changes that had loaded a particular area, but it wasn't adding up. So he scheduled in an MRI, which I've got tomorrow morning. So till then, it was let's just completely deload it. And even if you feel like running, don't run, because we want to actually get to the bottom of it. Because if it is a bone stress injury, then you're potentially doing more damage by running on it. So yeah, took that. And surprisingly, I kind of, once I got my head around it, because I was going into that week going, yeah, I'm ready to sort of up this Easter, I'll get a few more Ks in. But once I knew that there was a potential issue here that I needed to sort of iron out, I probably just was like, okay, I'm just going to have a holiday. And I've got other stuff that I can do, and I had some things in the calendar to catch up with people and get out of town. So I actually just switched off from the whole, like, okay, I'm not running now, so I'm just gonna live a bit of a normal life where I'm not, and where not everything's governed around when you're training and when you're gonna fit your session in. So yeah, that's where we're at, Chriso.
Obviously no running. Were you allowed to do any strength work?
Yeah, I could still, and I, to be honest, I only got in a couple of times. I could have gone on the bike, I could have cross trained, but it was more like, well, let's just completely deload it, because I could get on the bike and hammer myself for 5 days to try and maintain fitness. But then what's that really going to achieve if I end up having something that's longer term? And if it isn't longer term, then I've had 6 days to like recover, and I'll slowly progress again. So I'm on the fence as to whether, like, I'm really feel 50-50 if that is actually a bone stress injury, because actually looking, I don't feel like I've done a lot that would suggest that. I haven't ramped up too much. It's been pretty consistent. But I could have been, until we get an MRI, I'm really just speculating.
Have you had any quad injuries before?
Yeah, I've had, but not for you. Not for years and years. Like growing up, I've had quite a few, store maybe three or four stressies over the time, and then, but that's, I've had stress reactions. I've had a stress, femur before, but that were when I was in the midst of 120 to 160 weeks, and yeah, pushing the boundaries and doing three workouts a week. I've been very conservative with my training, relatively conservative, I think. But maybe underestimating, like working more, sitting down more. There's been strength work in there, which hopefully has helped negate all that. But yeah, maybe just the body has just sort of got to a point where, yeah, this is too much. So we'll see.
And your work has been insanely busy too.
Yeah, but it's still no, I mean, yeah, there's probably a little bit of longer hours, but it might be, yeah, a little bit of more sitting. I don't think it hasn't been like a double workload. It's still been within reason. So I don't know. Getting a stress reaction from working too much might be more stressy. Might be a bit of a bridge too far. But I can appreciate the domino effect of like just hammering through, and maybe not nutrition wise, maybe a little bit low in iron or something like that, that could have contributed to some weaknesses as well.
Even when you're working late hours, sometimes your appetite's a bit all over the place, or you're eating at weird hours, or you might like forget to eat if you're too busy. Like there are situations where you can get in a bit of a hole, like energy-wise too, just because of life stress, and the body obviously bears the brunt of that at some point.
That might mean just knowing I didn't, the past, like had days off. I was like, oh, I really want to run. Like I wanted to run a few days, but it was like my body was just like, I'm actually fine not running. Like, I've kind of enjoyed the rest. So maybe the body really did need a rest and a reset. Because walking around, like, I could go and run now, I would probably feel a little bit odd getting back into a run early on. But yeah, so that has subsided and I've probably rested more, feel more recuperated. So that could be the other thing, and like just needed a reset. So that's what I'm hoping it is. Because I, yeah, as much as I've enjoyed not running in the last year and you know, taking the time down, I don't really want to go back to, you know, have a 4 6 week time where
Yeah.
you're managing cross training or yeah.
So no session this Saturday?
No,
No, no session this
yeah,
Saturday.
look, depends on the
Yeah,
MRIs. I get the green light
that's
and
right.
I
Just
don't
going.
have
Just go
options.
and roll a cheeky park run. Like, no, it's all good. Just a little
Yeah.
tester.
Nah, we'll see, mate. So, but yeah, look, in comparison to other injuries that people have or other things, it's pretty minor. So
No. Fingers crossed for some good news. And who knows, even just having the last week of downtime, that if it comes back all clean, that's just the thing, that like you feel fresh and ready to go again. And yeah, it's back to what we were doing.
I think with any niggle slash injury, like at least knowing what you're dealing with is the key.
Yeah,
You're
for
just like
sure.
in like, oh well, I think it's this. I'm just like making up these theories, like until we actually know what we're dealing with. And if it's like clean cut, it's like, no, you've actually got this. Well, you know that so many people have gone through these and they do come back. So, you know, I look at, you know, not comparing myself to a Jack Rayner or a Brett or those guys, but they get stress injuries and they go back to square one and they go back to completely deloading, time off, cross train, 1 minute on, 1 minute off, that sort of stuff. And you see them return to their best ever. You know, we see Jack Rayner's 10K world Australian record. So there is a way back from these injuries once you know what you're dealing with. So we'll see. We'll know more in the next few days.
Good luck.
Thank you. Before we wrap up, we thought while you're here, Elise, we would indulge in some Canadian running news articles that came across our desk. Just a quick little touch on those. One that, Chriso, you posted this on your socials. I thought it was one of your April Fool's jokes.
I thought it was too. That's the intention. Like, I swear, this is, I read it on April Fool's Day thinking that this
Yeah.
was just a genuine April Fool's article. And what I found even more hilarious was when I read through the comments, was just how angry and triggered everyone was. And I thought, oh, sucks to be them. They didn't get it. It's gone over their head. But it's been since pointed out to me that I was the idiot, that I was the April Fool, that this is actually it's a legitimate thing.
We're talking about
Parkrun.
Parkrun, who is, and this is reported by the Telegraph. Do we know if it's actually a thing, or is this just a rumor?
What's, if it was in a
I don't know.
newspaper, it's got to be true, doesn't
Yeah.
this is your segment, Zaka.
Well, yeah, this is my segment, and we're blaming. We're trying to get ourselves off the hook if we're actually off, if we're well off
I've
track.
always found a well-placed allegedly
Yes.
can pretty much get
Yeah.
you out of anything.
Allegedly, Parkrun is looking at taking away the A to Z records list to curb the environmental impact of Parkrun tourism, which is where people go as a challenge, head out to the parks with every letter of the alphabet to try and complete the set. You had a crack at this, Chris?
No, I haven't. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna have a crack at something, and then that's gonna be the people at Parkrun. We're sitting there in our ivory tower trying to do the best things for people, and look, I appreciate the gesture. We're sitting there and we're like, how can we really do the right thing by people? You know what? We're going to take away their age group records and really give people less things to strive for when it comes to exercise. That was a bit of a kick in the guts for a lot of people. And like, oh, well, like, hey, there's more to life than just that. We'll move on. But now you want to take away people actually getting in their little car or their bike and toddling on off to another park run because there's literally one every half an hour, it seems. I mean, God, in Melbourne, you can't go across the suburb without going up to a park run. Now you could nearly walk there. Anyway, they want to cut down on that because that's environmentally responsible. I'll tell you what, mate, global warming, we're all concerned with it. There's just a lot of hot air coming out of park run at the moment. I just don't get it. Why? Why would you do this to people? I mean, people enjoy these touristy things, going to other towns, doing park runs, throwing a bit of money into their local community. Like they'll drive Friday night to go and stay somewhere, go and buy breakfast, go out for coffees, all that sort of thing, putting a little bit of money into country towns, not just locally, but all over the world. And we'd want to take away their incentive to go and do that. What if they, I mean, let's be honest, I think, and Zaka appears to have disappeared. Hopefully, we're still recording. But Elise, do you think Parkrun should be doing things like this to try and cut down on, because it feels like they're trying to cut down on participation numbers
I
across the
know. I
sport.
mean, maybe there's been some like flashpoint bottlenecks identified in different courses, and they're trying to control numbers by like cutting records and cutting these A to Z thing. Like, I think this is absolutely ridiculous. I agree with all of the things you just said there, and especially, you know, people having that exploration and being able to go somewhere and do a run and make a weekend of it, put some money into the local economy. And also, like, the small proportion of people who actually do this challenge would be so minor compared to like the massive amounts of greenhouse gases that big companies are emitting. So I just don't know. Like, I'd love to see if they've done like a environmental impact report that actually, you know, measures what the, you know, quantifiable impact of such a policy change, if we call it that, would actually be. Yeah, no, I ridiculous.
Just what sort of rules are we going to come up with? Like, have you got any predictions for potential rules that parkrun may enforce over the next sort of couple of years where you can only participate in a parkrun if it's within sort of 15 kilometers of your house? Or are we potentially going to ban all results? Like, they're not going to take times and send out the email with how you did afterwards, because once again that fosters competitiveness. I just yeah like What do you reckon, mate? Is there any bold predictions you're willing to make?
Oh, I don't know. Like, aside from the hot cross bun thing that we discussed earlier, I don't know. How far can they go? What? There could be a sock rule. What do you reckon?
Wow.
You'd
Honestly,
be all about that.
if there's an environmentally friendly sock that we could all wear, that would potentially make parkrun better, who knows? But
Yeah.
yeah,
Do you
maybe
think
like
senior leadership has changed at Parkrun
I
recently?
yeah I don't know, don't know, I don't believe it has, from all from what my research tells me. It just I think they're overly concerned about doing the right thing. They're just a bit on the wrong path as to what the right thing might be. I guess it's maybe it's political correctness gone too far. I think we're in a day and age where we get a bit apprehensive about doing things or saying things that may offend people to the point where we actually ignore the majority and we make sure we've got all small little rules and bylaws that keep the minority happy. I just, yeah. I don't know. I'm a bit confused by it all. Maybe it's just me getting old.
No. I think we're all a bit confused. And Zaka is back, which is great
He
because
hopefully is. Yes, I'm back.
what
Did you
happened?
keep going?
Yeah, we did.
We've
We're still
had a.
going. Apparently, we're still recording. There's a red circle up there saying that we're still going.
Okay.
So,
We should be good. Otherwise, people will have to join in the dots.
But yeah, mate, we're concerned about the longevity of parkrun. Like, are they planting the early seeds to just take it away from us, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know how hard you went, Chriso, but I assume it was
You went
pretty hard.
hard. It was relatively. There may be some kickback from the parkrun community in the next few days, but.
Well, it could be two ways this goes, mate, because I'm not convinced this actually recorded, but if it didn't, you might have saved yourself a lawsuit. If it did, I'm sure it was a very good strike. But yeah.
Do you have any bold predictions for what Parkrun may enforce over the tw next 12 or 18 months that they are not already doing at the moment?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, they've gone. Look, we're going to go strip it back to nature. I don't know if you've gone down this route, Chriso, where we're just going to be doing. Yeah. You don't want to wear fast fashion. You can't be wearing clothes that it's not ethically made. So you're basically just gonna have to
No
go
carbon
back.
shoes.
No, I was like
No.
barefoot, bring back the barefoot park,
Yeah.
barefoot park run.
No timing. Barefoot. No clothes really. It's just gonna be back to the basics. Time yourself. That's it. Self-reporting. Load it
Mate.
up to Strava. Choose your own adventure.
Jeez. No carbon at parkrun. Could you?
No clothes.
Yeah,
I'm worried about that.
no, well, yeah, no clothes. That could be a concern.
Carbon offsetting at parkrun, carbon free. One final one I wanted to bring up on Canadian. We could have spent the whole 2 hours talking about the items that have been popping up on Canadian running news. They've gone hard on some particularly hard hitting stories, but. This one was a little while ago, New York City half marathon. Chriso, did you see this? One of your favorite artists, little Nas X,
Really
ran
nice.
the New York half in high tops.
It's I don't know who this is, and I've probably just lost a lot of credibility in some sections of the community here, but if I heard one of the songs, maybe I'd be like, oh wow, okay, so he like is he a rapper? I assume he's a rapper. But apparently he's very well known, well off, kicking goals, taking names, cashing checks, all that sort of stuff. But no, this didn't come across my desk. But Elise, do you know who this is?
Yeah, vaguely. It's not, I'm not a big fan,
Yeah,
but.
I don't know. Paul Reason is a big fan, so he and you can see why, because this guy's gone and rolled a 2 hours and 32 minute half in a pair of designer Coach high top sneakers. Talk about alphas in the wild, mate. You're seeing some this is a complete opposite of just rolling designer shoes in a half for no
And the
reason other
hot.
than what he yes he got so he got spotted by a running photographer who then hit him up
Oh, wow.
after and said, why are you wearing this? And he just said, these are some random pair of Coach shoes I always exercise in, so I decided, why not, I'll wear them.
Nothing new
So
on race day.
just having a look at an image of them now, they're like a cross between, oh, like a Converse basketball, like a bit of a
Yeah, like
Converse
a Air Jordan.
skateboard, yeah, mixed with an Air Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing any Zoom X foam in there,
No.
and there's no rocker in that because that is flat.
No, it's flat, dead flat.
That is.
I'd love to know how many toenails he had at the end of the run, too.
And oh, that Achilles! I'm tipping the Achilles wouldn't be feeling too good after 2 2.5 hours
And the
in the
shin. Might have to give him a
streets,
referral to over to Lachlan over at Reload. A bit
mate.
of a
Oh, he's quite possibly got a stressy as we speak. That's gonna be so there's gonna be some banging hits coming out from Lil Nas in the not too distant future. I think based on this experience, some of your best creative content comes through self-inflicted trauma. So Lil Nas might be dropping some bangers in the second half of this year. So I think, is this the language that the community use?
Yeah, I don't know. Paul Reason uses that language, so maybe. We've got the inboxes open, so if we do see a sign up form from Little Nas for the breaking 2-hour 30 half marathon project, we'll flick him your way, Chris. I reckon you're the man for the job.
I would love the opportunity. I think there's some definitely a collab that we can put down for that for sure.
Be easy, PB there.
Oh,
Just get him in a pair of shoes, decent shoes.
Step one, dude.
Very, very low hanging fruit.
Low hanging fruit.
Very, very low hanging fruit there. I know we don't currently have a run to PB athlete of the month, but I'm a fluent signs up. Mate, that could be up there with any Grammy or anything like that he's won for that. So Lil Nas, the opportunity's there, my friend. Jump online, Google, run to pb.co.
Sure, listen.
I
Got his
think
system.
well I think his people, there would be people within his community that possibly listen. I'm not sure how big we are in America. But yeah, look, if there is, put us in touch. Put the sign up form through and who knows? We look, we can, we maybe we can get him sub too.
Look, if we didn't lose them with the hot cross bun,
Oh,
we've definitely lost them now with on that note, I think we should wind it up. It's past 9 o'clock, which means we've gone downhill pretty quickly, Chriso.
that is true. I can't, there's, I have no defense for that, but it's also where the most fun's had too.
I reckon
Thank you,
8 o'clock
Elise.
is the new 8 o'clock's the new nine. Anyway, thanks for having
Thanks
me.
for coming on. And I know we're going to try and schedule these more frequently through the year, especially as you get closer to some XCRs. You and Chris might have some battles going on around XCR that you can chat about. And then
Ooh.
Great Ocean Road, maybe we'll get a recap off the back of that half.
Sounds good.
All righty, take care, and I'll try and get that recipe for both of you to shoot across.
Thanks, mate. Look, if you can get it through, maybe we can all have a cook-off over the weekend and post some of the highlights in the socials.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, catch ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.